Amen. All righty. Well, hey, how many of you guys ever had a surprise in life? You know what I'm saying? Like, for instance, you're driving down the road, Joey, and all of a sudden you run into something like this. Watch this. This is crazy.
What?
I'll tell you what. You know, I know this hoarding thing was bad at COVID, this COVID thing. You know, that's getting a little extreme. You know what I'm saying? Okay. But fortunately, that's died down a little bit. But speaking of COVID, I don't know if that's not the only surprise. People doing that stuff to hoard. I don't know what he was doing. But have you noticed that during this whole COVID thing that people obviously are stuck at home. And so everybody's bored out of their gourds. And so they're and then they may not have a lot of food. So they're just scraping the barrel, looking for something, try to do a recipe out of something, right? Okay. And they're posting them online. Right? Watch what this guy scraped up. Boy, he thinks this is great. This is crazy. Watch this. Mark. I'll take you out to lunch. Throw those out of the freezer. Don't do it, bro. That was sick, right? You need to hitch a ride with that giant shopping cart guy. Get some real food, you know what I'm saying? But that's sick. That's gross, right? Hey, but speaking of, again, COVID, I mean, people are posting all kinds of weird things online, too. Have you noticed that everybody's like, all of a sudden, again, they're stuck at home. What are you going to do? They're exercising, right? Hey, now I got time to exercise. Well, now they're posting exercise tips, okay? Now watch what this lady posted for us to do during this time. Watch this.
And this morning's exercises, over to the left. And over. And over to the right and stretch those limbs. And then walk tall away.
How many guys can do that? That's my exercise right there. No pain, no pain. Just walk away. You know what I'm saying? That's a perfect COVID exercise, I tell you what. But let me give you one more. Speaking of surprises, man, I tell you what, the ultimate surprise would have to be you're just at home, minding your own business, you eat something, the next thing you know, this comes out of your mouth. How many of you guys hate it when this happens? Watch this. Yeah, slap yourself silly. I told you not to eat chicken. You guys never listen. There's weird stuff contained in that meat, and you just don't do it. But wasn't that freaky? Wasn't that? Now, for those of you guys that are freaked out, I'm assuming that was animated. That wasn't real, but maybe not. I don't know. But seriously, how many of you guys just say, hey, it just happens. You least expect it. Surprises are bound, not just during this COVID thing, but all of a sudden, you know, you're just doing your own thing, and voila, you get surprised, okay? Now, here's the whole point. You guys know where I'm going with this, okay? As surprising as all those encounters were, I think I found something even more surprising than, believe it or not, all those put together. And it's got to be this, folks. It's this scenario. It's the surprise that people get one day when they wake up to discover that they have been left behind. Why? Because they waited too long to receive Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior today. And guess what? You're going to get a surprise in your life. You'll wish it was just a spider coming out that you could slap off. Okay? You're going to be left behind in this, and you're going to be thrust into the seven-year tribulation. And folks, that's not a joke. Jesus said it is going to be the worst time in the history of mankind, so horrible that unless God shortened that time frame, the entire human race would be destroyed. Okay? You got to take this serious, okay? And as Christians, we need to finish strong, amen? Right? And tell as many people as we can about Jesus, because something horrible is coming to this planet that they can't avoid through Jesus, okay? And that brings us to this point. God's not just a God of wrath. He's what? We just sang the song. He's a God of what? He's got to love as well. And so how does he demonstrate that? Certainly sending Jesus. But if God knew this was coming to the planet, and he does, then guess what? He loves people. He doesn't want them to go into seven-year tribulation, let alone hell itself. So what's he do? He tells you in advance. He doesn't tell you the exact day or the hour, because you goof off to the very end, wouldn't we? Of course. But he gives the signs he's getting close so that you're not caught off guard, so you have no excuse. You could have avoided it if you would have taken the signs serious. And that's why we're going to continue our study, the final countdown, tribulation rising, signs that the seven-year tribulation is getting close, okay? Now, we've already seen that first sign, as you can see there, was the Jewish people and the Antichrist. The second one, of course, was modern technology. And then the last 12 times was the AI invasion. What we've been seeing is this is a prophecy that was started 2,600 years ago in the book of Daniel that said, you know, you're in the end of times when you see an increase, an explosion, if you will, of knowledge across the planet like never before. Well, guess what's happening? Exactly that. And it's leading to a danger that even the secularists, the non-Christian community, are calling singularity, where their definition, not mine, is AI, artificial intelligence, robots, okay, and machines are going to take over the planet and destroy us. Okay? Now what's crazy is they call it singularity, God calls it end of time. It's the same thing. Warned about 2,600 years ago, but it's happening today. And so what we've been seeing is, how do we get into this position? Where did it all start? Why is it happening in our lifetime? So we begin to take a look at an overview, and the overview is basically telling us there's a race. Militaries, corporations, you name it, around the world, they ain't stopping. No matter how many warnings you give them, these people are racing to create AI on a breakneck speed. Then we saw the definition, the types, the history, the big data, and the makers of AI. And then the last nine times was the future of AI. God already said it's going to lead to the end of times. The seculars say it's going to lead to singularity. It's going to destroy mankind. So guess what he thinks is happening? Just that, okay? It's literally permeating every sector of society, taking over, leading to some serious nightmare scenarios, exactly like God and the secularists are warning. We saw it's taken over the businesses across the planet. It's taken over the finances across the planet. And the last five times, the third area was convenience, okay? And this is their selling point, that they're saying, if you and I just allow AI to take over everything on the planet, micromanage everything for us, it's going to lead to this so-called utopian dream. It's going to be fantastic. It's like, no, it's not. We've been seeing it's going to literally micromanage the planet on a scale that you can't dream of, and it's going to come in handy when the Antichrist launches his tyrannical system across the planet, okay? We saw it's doing that in seven different ways: smart homes, smart cities, smart abilities. By the way, again, got to say it again, every time you see the word smart before something, what do you supplant it with? Big Brother. Smart abilities, smart shopping, smart serving, smart entertainment, and last time, what did we see? Smart media. Right? And even that was crazy, right? Talk about take a chapter out of the pages of World War II and Hitler. Okay, what's being pitched? They say, hey, AI, you know, because we're so lazy, we can't do it ourselves. Let's have AI take over all the news, and not just the news, but the arts, the books, the movies, you name it, and then we can just get back to our lazy, hedonistic lives, and it'll create all the stories for us and manage it and bring what you, excuse me? What we saw is it's actually going to bring in a narrative that one guy can control on the whole planet. And guess who that is? The Antichrist. AI will be controlling, is already being put into play. AI is controlling all the media on the planet, which means when the Antichrist wants to spin something, he could do it not just in one country like Hitler did with Germany. He could do it all across the world and control the minds of the people. And dare I say, even do what Hitler did. He brainwashed the German people through media to go along with his evil, sick, dastardly deeds, including the Jewish Holocaust. And now it's happening again with AI across the whole planet. And we know there's not only a second unfortunate Zechariah 13 Jewish Holocaust coming, but we also know, unfortunately, anybody who turns to God in the seven-year tribulation should have got saved now and avoided it. But anybody who does, they're going to be slaughtered like flies. Okay, and the Antichrist, I believe, will use the media to prevent a revolt, and he'll slaughter people, and everybody will be there going, yeah, go get him. Okay, it's crazy, but that's what's going on. But I'm still preaching on it, so Pastor Bobby, guess what? There's got to be more, and there is. The fourth way, and we're still on entertainment, believe it or not, the fourth way that AI is being pitched to take over entertainment is this one, okay? It's our gaming. Okay, and here's what I mean with that, right? Because we all know when it comes to games, I mean, what just started this week? Football, right? Football season started, right? And things of that nature. And so everybody's, you know, all into sports and stuff. But think about it, right? I mean, we're all busy, right? Do you got time to play sports anymore, let alone get in shape for sports anymore? Or all those other recreational activities that we just got to have to entertain ourselves to death in this crazy, convenient, selfish, self-centered culture? I mean, aren't you guys tired of getting carpal tunnel syndrome from the remote control going back and forth? I am. So to alleviate that suffering in our convenient culture, wouldn't it be great if somebody somewhere could somehow take over all of our gaming options and just hand feed it to us? And that way we wouldn't have to go through all that hard work. And you know where I'm going. Guess who's taking it over? This blew me away. Even our so-called gaming folks is being taken over by AI. Listen, it's not going to lead to a life of convenience and a lack of suffering. Listen, I believe it's a propaganda machine to get us used to receiving the people in the seven-year tribulation, the actual mark of the beast system. Sounds kind of crazy. He's like, how does that go with games? Well, that's what we're going to talk about today. But as always, don't take my word for it. Let's listen to God. So open your Bibles to Revelation 13 again. We were here last week, okay? We stopped at verse 15. Now we're going to continue on and say, okay, what's another aspect that the Antichrist is going to do on the planet during that time? Revelation 13, we're going to take a look at verses 11 through 18. Let's go ahead and stand as we read God's holy word. Revelation 13. And here's what John says. Then I saw another beast coming out of the earth, and he had two horns like a lamb, but he spoke like a dragon. He exercised all authority of the first beast on his behalf, and he made the earth and its inhabitants worship the first beast whose fatal wound had been healed. And he performed great and miraculous signs, even causing fire to come down from heaven to earth in full view of men. And because of these signs, he was given power to do on behalf of the first beast. He deceived the inhabitants of the earth. And he ordered them to set up an image in honor of the beast who was wounded by the sword and yet lived. And he was given power to give breath to the image of the first beast so that it could speak and cause all who refused to worship the image to be killed. Now, that's what we saw last week. And we saw, well, hey, how's he going to keep, you know, he's going to kill anybody that disobeys, that doesn't worship the beast. Well, what about powerful political figures? What about celebrities, right? You're going to have a revolt on your hands, man. How's he going to, well, if you control the narrative, right? He'll brainwash everybody. Say, yeah, you get that celebrity. I don't know, who do they think they are? They didn't worship the Antichrist, right? So, but let's keep on. He's going to do something else, right? And verse 16 says, he also what? He forced everyone. How many is that? Everybody, small and great, rich and poor, free and slave, to receive a mark. Notice again, this is the big part of our study. Where are the two parts on the body? It's not just a mark. It's on the right hand or on his forehead. Why? So that no one could buy or sell unless he had the mark, which is the name of the beast or the number of his name. Okay. In fact, this calls for wisdom. If anyone has insight, let him calculate the number of the beast, for it is man's number. His number is 666. Okay. You may be seated if you can there. But basically, we've been in this passage several times. I want to pull out another nugget that I think has everything to do with AI. Okay. The Bible says there's coming a day when the inhabitants of the earth, those that are left behind, okay, at the rapture of the church, are not only going to be under the authority of the Antichrist, they're not only going to be under the economy of the Antichrist, but the bulk of the planet is going to be duped into taking a what? Some sort of a mark of the Antichrist, okay? And they will not only be deceived into receiving that mark, okay, but specifically, again, there's two portions on the body that it's going to be taken on, and that is in the right hand or on the forehead. And that is going to apparently connect you to the Antichrist global system so that you can continue to buy and sell and maybe some other things. But it's also going to also basically be the way that keep you from getting murdered. Okay, if you don't take it, you're going to die. But if you take it, apparently he lets you live. But as we're going to see today, you're doomed. You take the mark of the beast, you are doomed. You're done. And I think we're going to see one of the reasons possibly why. But again, my question is this. Okay, that was written 2,000 years ago by the Apostle John, right? And so could this really happen? What's the scenario? This is on a global basis. Could the whole world really be deceived into taking some sort of marking device or system into the bodies that's going to connect them to this global system that's going to be controlling everything, including buying and selling, that literally one guy in his religious cohort is going to control? Yeah. In fact, we already saw in previous studies the financial aspects of the buying and selling, that's already being put in place with AI on a global scale. Okay, but I want to focus on a couple other things that's going on there. All under the guise of convenience, folks. This Mark of the Beast technologies we've already seen is not only here, but listen to this. This is what I believe is part of the conditioning process, right? Because who's going to receive a mark in their hand, right? Especially the forehead, right? That's an eyesore. Who's going to do that? Well, believe it or not, our gaming system that's being taken over by AI on a global basis, I believe, is encouraging, as well as other angles, but gaming, believe it or not, is encouraging people to get a mark on the hand or the forehead. I think it's just another big, long line of propaganda tools to get people to go along with that, and I want to share with you how. Okay, AI has taken over our sports, and we don't even realize this, okay? And that's what I want to start with, okay? Again, we've already stated it's hard enough to get in shape for sports, let alone keep pushing that button to find out, you know, what's going on with some sports. And if I get another callus on my thumb, I don't know what I'm going to do. I mean, this life is just, oh, I can take it, the inhumanity, right? But that's our culture today, right? And I'm telling you, they're ripe for this lie as well, okay? AI is taking over our sporting experience. Now, why are they doing that? Because here's the rationale. It's going to enhance. If you allow AI to take over our sports, it's going to enhance our experience, okay? And not just enhance it, but here's the other thing that's going on. Obviously, the sports are televised, but we live in a media-saturated culture, and we got options, right? Remember back in the day when your only option to watch TV was, here's how it went. Your dad sat in the big chair. You were the remote control, right? And then you also were the TV repairman. Because if you couldn't get a good signal with the rabbit ears, what'd you do? Go get the aluminum foil and start doing your thing, right? And things of that nature. But that you had three channels, right? Basically what to work with, right? And but not anymore. What do we got? We got choices. We got options, right? We got streaming options. We got satellite. We got cable. We got all this stuff. Ah! And so it's created a very competitive market. And so they do anything nowadays to try to keep your attention. And this is the rationale they're using to have AI take over our sports. If we allow AI and microchip technology to invade sports, it's going to give you all those neato technoid facts that you just got to have to keep you from changing the channel. Okay, it like that right there. So as you can see, right on time. We took all week. We tried to get that, and we got it right. Thank you, Victor. But anyway, that's right. But listen to this, folks. This is really what's going on. They're actually putting microchips. Listen. They're putting microchips into virtually all kinds of sports-related items, including the players, just so you and I can have up-to-date minute-by-minute factoid stats, so we won't change that channel. But I'm sure it's all going to be used for good, right? I think it's a conditioning process. Now, let me just give you a couple examples. AI's taking it over, including with microchips. Hey, maybe your sport is this. Maybe you like golf. Well, that's being taken over by AI. Headlines are saying Callaway Golf reveals new artificial intelligence enhanced driver. Because apparently it's just too hard to design one yourself. You know, you don't want to get a callus on your brain, do you? But this is really going on. Callaway Golf released a new product line for 2019, unveiling a line of golf clubs engineered to, with the help of AI, to determine the optimum design. And listen what it will do, men. That's right. It will result, because of AI, in a greater ball speed and more distance for golfers, and your life will be complete. Moment of silence for that truth. That's right. And that's just the equipment. Now they're using AI to coach you. Watch this. AI is transforming coaching in golf. That's right. Now the new technology could transform how you play. It could lower your handicap. The Swing AI system detects the issues, develops an interactive lessons, and then it tracks the student's progress. Notice the word track there. In fact, in the same system, they are actually going to use with AI a Doppler radar to track the club and the golfer's movement while the shot distance, power, trajectory of your golf ball is also measured. Oh, and then that will turn into this thing, quote, the world's smartest caddy, because they're going to embed it in every piece of equipment, the golf balls, the player, and they're managing you with Doppler radar and all that stuff, and it's all just to improve your game. But this is, quote, just like a human caddy. AI will now know the individual's golf game, help the players react and refine their game, quote, with sensors embedded in the balls and clubs. AI, quote, will improve the games of golfers everywhere. Life is complete. AI taking over golf. But that's just golf. Maybe you're not into golf, right? Maybe you're one of those gymnastics people. Well, guess what AI is doing there? AI is taking that over. By using LIDAR, radar, if you're familiar with that, artificial intelligence can now improve accuracy, listen, with judging and awarding points in gymnastics. Why? Because, quote, human eyes can't accurately measure all the bending angles and joints, but AI can. Right? And you make sure you get accurate scores, right? So it's taken over that. But maybe that's not your thing. Maybe it's running. Maybe you're just one of those running people, right? You know, like when people keep coming to your house and say, hey, let's go get some chicken. It's the only time I'm going to run, personally. But anyway, that's right. listen to this. Artificial intelligence, it helps runners go the extra mile. That's right. AI technology can show professionals the angles of the foot streak, the gait, etc., to give you feedback such as you may want to see this particular running position and you may want to adjust your gear. So be watching every step you make. It, to me, brings a whole new meaning to you can run, but you can't hide. AI is going to be watching you. Where they want to embed them in your shoes and all the gear, all this stuff. It's crazy what's going on. But hey, maybe that's just, you know, golfing, gymnastics, running. Maybe that's not your cup of tea. Speaking of cup of tea, sport of tea, maybe you're more into those European sports. You know, like cricket, right? Who loves cricket? Are you serious? All right, praise God, Victor. You're 2 for 2 for today, I tell you what. But hey, this apparently is for you, right? Cricket, AI, cricket is a bat, is set to be a game changer. So the European sports are letting AI take over. It's going to, quote, it will change that sport too. The technology gives a more accurate idea of how the player should improve. It helps find new batting talent when looking at shot power. Quote, this is not just the beginning of what's possible for cricket, but for all sports. Now, speaking of all sports, another huge worldwide sport, European sport, it's starting to get more popular here in America, is soccer. Well, guess what soccer's turning to? AI. Soccer team turns to AI for their tactics. Teams are now asking in soccer, Alexa, to help their tactical decisions and try to get an edge over their opponents. They're using AI for, quote, smarter coaching. Why? Because, listen, the best soccer players aren't necessarily the ones with the best physical skills, and the difference lies in the ability to make split-second decisions. But here's the problem. Humans can't always notice those split-second decisions in humans, so how do you know who's doing it, who's got the skill? AI. AI monitoring, tracking every movement of every soccer player, everything, every piece of equipment. It can make those decisions for you, and you'll end up with the best players. Just let AI track everything, people, equipment in your sports. Now, speaking of which, of course, I saved the most popular here in America for last. It just started up again, football. Guess what football's doing? And frankly, we don't realize this, probably, unfortunately. Guess what's been going on for a while? Microchip technology, AI, has been in football for actually several years now. Okay, let me explore that. It's been invaded. Quote, and listen to this. Footballs with tracking chips will allow officials to make exact first down calls and determine with certainty whether a ball crosses the goal line. And don't you just hate that? Every year it seems it gets worse. Those guys, they blew the game. They could have been in the playoffs if those guys would have got it right. Even that whole system they got where it goes back to New York and they make they still get it wrong, but not AI. If you embed microchips in the players, and then you'll know exactly if they really achieved. Isn't that crazy? And it's not coming. Listen, folks, this was as far back as 2013. And it isn't just the footballs. It's the players are getting microchipped as well. Okay, in 2013, Zebra Technologies began tracking movements of players by using RFID tags, microchips, in the shoulder pads of the players to determine the player's position and speed. Now, when we watch TV, we've been doing this for years, you see all these nifty, where do you think they get all that in real time? How do they know the exact trajectory of the ball or where the player's going? Because they have a microchip in them. And it's been going on. You're right, it's not just some nifty artwork. Okay, when the guy punts the ball, it's because microchips are in the equipment and the players. So that's been going on for a long time, okay? And it's literally taking over even that. Now, here's the whole my point. Let's stir this all together. And I'm not saying this is the only means of propaganda, but I think it's a big one because sports gaming is very, very popular. And people look up to, quote, sports figures, I'm not saying I agree with this, as idols.
Well, they're doing it. I'm going to do it. Look at him. He's successful. He's a sport. I'm going to fall on his way. Right?
So it's a propaganda thing. Now, here's where it is. First, they start. There's a track record in all these sports. They start by monitoring the sport equipment with AI and microchips, but they don't just put it in the balls. Where does it go? It usually ends up in the next stage into what? Into the players. The players get conditioned to have microchips on them that they monitor, track, and analyze every single minute aspect of your behavior. Now, I said all that to get to that. I believe this is, again, a propaganda to have AI on a global scale mixed with microchip technology to be put into the person, the average Joe, not the sports player, so that AI can do the same thing. Monitor, track, analyze all of our behavior as well. In fact, the experts are saying that's already begun. The propaganda has been working so good that people across the world are lining up to get microchipped. Watch this.
Human microchips. They're already used to identify ranch animals and pets. But the practice of implanting chips in people is also on the rise.
These microchips use a system called near-field communication. It's exactly the same sort of technology used in contactless debit and credit cards.
Developers believe consumers will soon be free to spend with the implant. On Sweden's high-speed rail lines for the past 18 months, implanted passengers have put their travel payment on the chip.
I think it's really good with a chip ticket. I love all companies that use the chip technology.
IT student Kieran Anderson is being chipped by Dr. Jeff Watson, a consultant anaesthetist who's driving research into the medical benefits.
The microchip's actually inside here, and there's a sort of introducer piece of plastic that will push it out once it's in. Okay, so this is the implant coming now. You'll feel a bit of pressure. And a bit of a clunk. So you're now a cyborg. Welcome. Kieran has a near-field communication microchip in his hand, and that can be used to store data, store information, his name, address, contact details, anything he chooses to put on there, blood type, allergies, basic medical information.
The idea of everything being able to commute together excites me quite a lot. Say, you know, automatic payments and that sort of thing without you having to actually do anything.
It happens in seconds. Your child wanders off and panic sets in. But what if you had an extra layer of security inside your child?
If it'll save my kid, there's no step that's too extreme.
The technology is here, but just how far would you go to keep your kids safe? Our expert insists putting this technology in place is just a matter of time.
It could save a life, reunite a family, find a missing Alzheimer's patient.
Israel's putting into practice its plan to return to normality, with schools and kindergartens beginning to open their doors. But concerns have been raised after the country's prime minister proposed a controversial measure to track children's social distancing by microchipping them.
I spoke with our heads of technology in order to find measures Israel is good at, such as sensors. For instance, every person, every kid, I want it on kids first, would have a sensor that would sound an alarm when you get too close, like the ones on cars.
A small firm recently embedded microchips in their employees as a way to bypass company badges and corporate logons and to get attention for their cafeteria kiosks, which are available on a cashless payment plan like Apple Pay. Chip proponents tell us that having a chip in the hand is better than grabbing for the cell phone because you can never forget it and you can't lose it and you have the capability to communicate with machines. You will be chipped. It's just a matter of time.
That's a pretty bold statement. But again, you notice it wasn't just in Europe. We've talked before, Sweden is 99% cashless, but you still got to pay for stuff, and it's already moved to the hand. But even here in America. But notice the different rationales that are out there. Oh, did you see the one guy? He had a sports figure on his shirt. The guy that thought it was so cool to get chipped. But again, it's the propaganda. And I believe sports are just playing into that. That's not the only one. You want to keep your kids safe, right? You don't want to lose track of that loved one who's got Alzheimer's? Chip them. You want to get those prisoners, you know, those predators? We'll chip them. And this is all stuff that's being portrayed out there. It's propaganda to get everybody chipped. You start at the end of the spectrum, work your way into your ultimate goal, and that's everybody. But then again, I think that, again, you don't just stop there. You try to hit it from as many different angles, and I believe that this getting used to, well, it's good for the sports players, and that we chip the balls, we chip dogs, the players get chipped, they're fine with it, they said it's okay, and then now with this COVID thing, did you see that part? Got to keep everybody apart. How are you going to do that? Well, microchip propaganda is not in high gear from a multitude of angles, including gaming. But guess what? It's working. People are lining up and getting the chip. Okay, just like the Bible warned about nearly 2,000 years ago, just in time for the Mark of the Beast system in the seven-year tribulation. Now, what's being happened today is not the Mark of the Beast, but it's technology leading up to it. The Mark of the Beast does not happen until in the seven-year tribulation. We're not obviously there because we're still here as the church. We leave prior. Okay, but we're seeing the technology to pull it off. That's the action point for you and I. In fact, I found what was interesting. A lot of these guys that are getting microchipped, they don't just think it's cool. You know what they admit is the rationale for getting this? Laziness. In fact, they'll even use the word convenient. And remember what Paul warned about? The last day society, what would they be? Lovers of pleasure, lovers of self. It's convenience at all cost. So even that angle is coming into play for people to get the microchip. Watch this. He even admits it.
Already, governments are keen to capture your fingerprints. They are keen to capture your iris scans, and they want to be able to do this at a distance so they can identify as you walk through areas. They're doing facial recognition. These are all fallible technologies. They're hard to do well. But the idea that they could actually just embed you, it is the modern form of tattooing barcodes on people. And we've seen governments do that in the past. This is just the next generation.
When Elias Brotberger goes to work, he doesn't need ID, and he doesn't need money. In fact, much of what he needs to get through the day is hidden right there, just below the surface, in his hand.
You like to touch it?
Yeah.
Yeah?
Oh, weird. Yeah, it's like a grain of rice.
Yeah, a grain of rice.
Embedded in his hand is a microchip that serves as his keys, his ID, and his wallet.
Yeah, it's all in chips, so I use it like to get around the building.
Buy snacks.
Yeah, exactly.
Let's buy some snacks. Exactly. So I can't open it.
No.
Okay.
So what I need to do is I need to first blip my chip, and it will log me in, mm-hmm. and from there I get access to the fridge.
Popular TV shows like Black Mirror have imagined chips as part of a dystopian future.
Install ingrain procedure with local anesthetic, and you're good to go.
In Sweden, the microchips are already here.
The microchip implants use the same technology that's in contactless credit cards,
which have made cash pretty much obsolete in Sweden.
No cash.
At this tech fair, a chipping event for those on the cutting edge, merging their hands with this new technology.
I thought it would be fun, right? In the future, do you think everyone is going to be chipped?
I am certainly convinced that millions of people will find it very, very valuable to have a smart device under their skin.
Human microchipping may be our future, but in Sweden, it's already reality.
Hannes has made it his mission to convince more of us to get microchipped. He's what's known as a biohacker, someone who wants to improve their body with technology.
What's wrong with just having contactless payment cards? We've all got phones. We've all got a set of keys. What's the point?
The point is to reduce the hassle of exactly these things. I mean, in the morning, every morning, when you stand there going out your front door, you check your purse or your pockets. Okay, do I have my wallet, my charger, my keys, my phone, all my stuff? What if you could reduce that by half? It would declutter your life.
Isn't that just the ultimate laziness?
No, it's convenience. And convenience is a pretty powerful force.
Yeah, it's a pretty powerful force. That's the last day society that we saw before in our previous studies that Paul said would arise on the planet when you're living the last days. That it's all about self-love, self-pleasure, lovers of pleasure more than God. It's all about convenience, and that culture on down, that's what it's all about. If I don't have to carry my keys, my wallet, yeah, buddy, bring it on. I'll get microchipped. So even that mentality, along with the propaganda around the world, people are lining up on a massive scale to get the chip. But that's not all. The second thing that they're taking over is not just our sports, okay? They're taking over the video games, right? Now hang with this one. This one I found very interesting. You see, the scenario we just saw, right, primarily is microchipping, yes, okay, and being encouraged to get a microchip, including through sports, okay? But it's primarily the one of the two scenarios. In the what? In the hand. Well, that's not the only place that people are going to take a microchip or some sort of a marking device in the seven-year tribulation. Let's remind ourselves, what was that other option? Revelation 13, 16 through 17. He also forced everyone, small and great, rich and poor, free and slave, to receive a mark on his right hand or where? On his forehead, right? Specifically the forehead. Why? So that no one could buy or sell unless he had the mark, which is the name of the beast or the number of his name. Okay? So it's not just getting a mark on your hand, specifically the right hand, in the seven-year tribulation. What's the second option? It's in your head. Okay? Both options are going to be given in the seven-year tribulation to tie you into the global Antichrist system. Now here's the point. I don't know about you, but I can see, if you will, the convenience factor, the rationale to get a markings device in your hand, right hand, whatever. Because if that's your life, it's all about convenience. I can see that because we've already been conditioned to make payments with our hand using our cell phone that you carry in your hand, right? And so to me, okay, well, you might lose your cell phone or somebody could steal it. Well, if you get a microchip, it's always with you wherever you go. And you just keep that payment with your hand that you're already used to. See, it's a natural slide. And plus, it's in the hand. You're used to do. Okay, I can get that. But here's my point. The head? Have you ever wanted this? I'm like, the head? Who would take the number two option and get a microchip in your head? Especially in our vain culture today. I don't want something sticking out of my head. People look at it like it's weird. Well, first of all, if you look at a lot of, we dealt with this in other studies, if you look at a lot of the religious cultures around the planet, they got the Tilaka, the Bindi, okay? The Hindu population, that makes up a huge portion of the planet. They already have a thing on their head. And oh, by the way, and that's a form of worship. So I think they'll take, and what do you do with the mark? You worship the Antichrist. So I think that's a natural slide. But for the rest of the ones that aren't into Hinduism and that false path there, who's going to get one in their head? Well, believe it or not, folks, as crazy as it sounds, video game technology is encouraging people, even here in the West, to get a microchip in your head, right? And I want to show you how that's being done, okay? First of all, I know it sounds crazy, but track with me, okay? First of all, as far as brain chips in the head, we've already seen this in our other studies. Elon Musk says that his brain chip, AI brain chip company, will be putting implants in humans within what? 1 year. We saw before his Neuralink program. He said he wants it to be as, quote, common as a LASIK eye procedure. Check in, check out. Outpatient procedure. You just go in, get your brain chip, you walk right on out. Just like you go in, get your eye laser, walk right on out. Right? And what he says, as we saw before, it's going to treat brain injury if you get this brain chip and trauma, and it's going to restore eyesight and hearing and limb movement. And that is true. There is a lot of potential with that. But I'm telling you, it's also being promoted in getting a brain chip in the video gaming industry. Okay, now first of all, that sounds pretty wild, but I believe it's a step-by-step process. And the first thing that changed with video gaming industry, of course, let's go back in history. Remember the first game that came out? Let's go as far back as, yes, there was life before Nintendo. Atari. Remember Atari? All right, what'd you have to do with that thing? Right. Once again, you were the remote control. You had to figure out how to plug it in the back and get all these kind of crazy things, but you're right there, and that was your it. But you're staring at this big giant box, right? And then they kind of get whatever. And then, of course, the joysticks came along, and then the game pads came along, and all that changed. But you're still staring at a TV. Well, what's the latest thing? They've now basically to, quote, immerse you into your gaming experience. It's what? It's something you put on your head. Right? The virtual reality headsets. And that's all the rage right now. Right? And they're getting pretty crazy, okay? But notice they're called headsets. Right? It's getting used to having something to do gaming on your head. Okay? And, but them, that's kind of bulky. Kind of, okay, people are still getting into it. But it's kind of bulky. It's kind of a little bit of a fashion faux pas there. So then it went to external headsets. Now, these external headsets, what it allows you to do is to basically play your game with your thoughts. This is not coming. It's been out for several years, if you guys aren't aware of the gaming industry, right? So you can, I mean, and again, for the convenience factor, I mean, aren't you, you've heard of kids, he got carpal tunnel syndrome, his thumb's broken, it's the size of a whale, it's all swollen up because that's all he does is play video games all day long. Not anymore. It's so convenient. This headset with your thoughts will actually be used right now. You can go buy them right now, kid you not, around $300. You can play games with your thoughts. It reads your brain signals, okay? And again, they're saying that it's not just with your thoughts, okay? Now it's already moved to the next stage. And now you know what they're saying, right? Because all this is wireless, right? Wireless technology connects you to the internet so that you can play games with other people around the world. So that means your whole gaming experience is not just you in front of a TV and not just with a computer, but now it's being broadcast everywhere, interactive, right? Now they're saying with these new headsets that can read your thoughts to play the game, there's a new term called brain hacking. And that means because now you're connected wirelessly, somebody can reverse, go the other direction. You're using your brain to control the game. They could tap into it and start to read your brain. Sounds crazy, but that's the actual term called brain hacking. And believe it or not, brain hacking is not just on the rise. It can be done with even these simple gaming headsets. Watch this. These guys admit it.
It's official. official. We're living in the future, but not necessarily the yay. It's all hoverboards and robots. We're living in the oh no, they can possibly read our minds with technology and nothing is a secret kind of future.
Oh man, I knew we'd get here eventually. Just hide your brains, kids.
Yep. Scientists demonstrated how they can hack someone's brain to find out things like PIN numbers, addresses, or whether or not someone is important to you. You know, all the stuff they would use against you in a CIA movie to make you talk.
The craziest part about it all is that the researchers from the universities of Oxford, Geneva, and California found a way to pluck this stuff right out of your head using a $300 off-of-the-shelf headset. Emotive's Epoch headset, which is a headset that lets you control and interact with your computer through brainwaves. Computer games through brainwaves. Devices have access to your EEG, which is essentially your electrical brain signal data that contains neurological phenomena triggered by subconscious activities.
Ooh, science. And if that isn't creepy enough, the team found that they could find a person's home 60% of the time with a 1 in 10 chance, and had a 40% chance of recognizing the first number of a PIN number. Mind you, that's only the first number. But this is a computer gaming headset. I repeat, a computer gaming headset. And it seems promising when it comes to interrogation and detection of criminal details.
What? First of all, how many guys, raise a hand, even knew that they had gaming headsets that you could play a game that reads your thoughts? Raise your hand. Virtually none, just only a handful. How many guys realize that now they can tap into your brain and actually read your thoughts? Very few, even less. But folks, this is current technology. It's not coming, it's already here, okay? But again, it's out of what? Laziness. Because I don't want to get carpal tunnel syndrome. I mean, that's just the coolest thing. I just think it, and the guy goes here and shoots this and does that, right? Okay? And then you're going like, man, now you're messing with my thoughts. And then you got this virtual reality, and everybody wants to escape and go into another world and immerse themselves into it. And I'm starting to think, well, what are you going to do next? You're going to do like the, remember that movie Total Recall, where the guy wanted to go on vacation, but it was all in his brain? Well, let's remind ourselves of that scene.
Would you like to see a doctor? But you're snowed under with work? Do you dream of a vacation at the bottom of the ocean? But you can't float the bill? Have you always wanted to climb the mountains of Mars? But now you're over the hill? Then come to Recall Incorporated, where you can buy the memory of your ideal vacation cheaper, safer, and better than the real thing. So don't let life pass you by. Call Recall for the memory of a lifetime.
For the memory of a lifetime. Recall, recall, recall.
It's your first trip?
Mm-hmm.
Ernie?
That's a new one. Blue sky on Mars.
Been married long?
8 years.
So, how do you like your women? Blonde? Brunette? Redhead?
Brunette.
Oh, boy, is he going to have a wild time. He's not going to want to come back.
Oh, that's for sure.
How convenient would that be, right? I mean, what are you doing? You're just, I ain't got time to, you know, take a vacation, or I ain't got the money to go on a real vacation, so how about I just pay for a program and I'll take a vacation in my mind? I get to select what details that I'd like about it, and guess where I'm going with this? That's not just a movie anymore. That's now a reality. And what they're saying is coming really soon is you could do just that. In fact, the example they gave, as you're going to see in a second, is it'll be just like you want to choose your dream, and it'll become a service-based reality, where like if you want to choose a movie you want to watch on Netflix, you can do the same thing. You go to a service, you say, I want to dream about this tonight, click it, and that's exactly what's going through your brain. Watch this. This is nuts.
Can we trust our own brains, and what can our dreams teach us? We speak to Morin Cerf, a neuroscientist from Northwestern University. Mr. Morin, thank you very much indeed for being with us. Is it possible to hack the human brain, and is it as easy as hacking a computer?
It's actually probably easier.
The reality is that we're now starting to understand how you can actually influence a person to change their mind and behave in a certain way. And a lot of companies are interested in that because this tackles the very idea of free will, when Amazon can not just know what you want, but actually start offering you things that you didn't know you want because they know you better than yourself. That's when we're heading into a world where your brain interacts with the outside world behind your back.
Now, you've also studied dreams quite a bit. Can deciphering their meaning be a key to our brains?
Yes. So dreams, in a way, have been fascinating for people for millennia. We always thought that they mean something. If you don't believe me, you can just try to tell your boyfriend or your husband in the morning that you dreamt of your ex-boyfriend and see how they respond. They think that dreams mean something, whether they do or do not. And for the first time in history, we can actually access them and understand them. Up to now, in the days of Freud and Jung and all of those, we had to ask you to tell us what you dreamt and believe that this is the story. But what we're learning right now is that we can actually get access to your dreams using neuroscience when you're sleeping and understand what they're telling us. And the stories that they tell us something about who you are, what you want, how you think about the future, what you want to do next, and how you think about all kinds of possibilities. This means that we'll understand you better. This means that we can actually control the world around you better in alignment with what you want. And it also means we can start manipulating your dreams by creating dreams for you. So you can go to sleep with a dream that I set up for you. Maybe a filmmaker like Spielberg could make dreams for people and so on. And at the very least, you can go to sleep after a nice evening and continue the evening in your sleep. It becomes a canvas. These companies like Netflix, YouTube, Hulu, or Tech24 can put content in. And generally, it's the ultimate virtual reality, one that our brain creates for us.
Not coming, but already here, and they're predicting it's going to be outsourced like a Netflix. Isn't this crazy? And again, most of us have no clue, but again, notice the propaganda. If you would just get a brain chip, huh, I'll put that in my, not me, I'm just saying facetiously, not me personally, I'll put that in my head. I mean, look at what all that you gain. Man, I forget that headset. There's other technology that what they want to do is with a brain chip, they can also beam through the back of your eyes the video. So it goes through your eyes, so you don't even need a set anymore. So you not only do that, but then I don't need a controller. It's just all, and then I'm totally immersed into it. I can dump that headset thing and just with the brain chip. And then not only that, as you can see, what else can that thing do? I could take a vacation. I could dream whatever dreams I want. I could just scroll through it just like I can escape this life of, it's so hard and suffering. And can you see our culture falling for this? Absolutely. But again, what is it if you just get a brain chip? I was thinking in my notes, so what are you going to call this new service? Dreamflix? Is that the name of the Antichrist company? If you get a brain chip in your head, you get a free subscription to the worldwide database and create your own reality. That's starting to sound like that Matrix movie thing, isn't it? And we even got time to get into that. But here's my point. It goes even further than that. You're the same, you know, speaking of thoughts, and we're here for you. We care about you. You can do all these things if you just get a brain chip in your head, right? But before the brain chip came along, you went through some hard experiences, right? You got bad thoughts. They give you bad dreams. You had a bad relationship. Maybe you're a soldier and you're suffering from PTSD from what you saw over there in the war. You know what? If you just get a brain chip, we will erase certain thoughts. What? Yeah, they're already talking about that in the medical field. Watch this.
When times get tough, do you ever wish you could just push that reset button and just start all over again? We've all thought it.
Flush, right?
Yeah, we've all thought about it and wish we could do it from time to time. But be careful what you wish for, because scientists are now working to make these wishes a reality.
It may sound like something out of a science fiction film, but believe it or not, scientists are working on implanting microchips into human brains to delete memories. Prototypes for the chip are allegedly being tested on epilepsy patients in hospitals with good results. But the creator hopes to one day expand this chip, not just for the sick, but for the healthy population, where users could remove experiences and, get this, buy new ones. The chip is predicted to be as common as cell phones in the future. Are you ready?
about it that maybe there is a use to try to eliminate those bad thoughts,
PTSD,
bad
memories,
bad divorce,
rape,
whatever.
Trauma.
This whole area of functional brain surgery, whether it be a chip, whether it be brain stimulation, I mean, this is an area that is evolving at a crazy rate. I remember when Neil Martin, the neurosurgeon, was on, he said, just wait, Drew, the time is coming. We're going to control so many of these behaviors, obesity.
Right.
For example, he said, we're going to control it all through the brain.
Well, this is Westworld-esque, you know, with all the someone in a control room somewhere controlling your memories, controlling your thoughts.
It's creepy.
This is very creepy.
Creepy, right. And fast forwarding to the 7-year tribulation, if this is connected with all this brain chip technology, you think the Antichrist won't use this? I think so. In fact, let me give you one more, and then we're going to close. With all this technology, let's see how people get into this. I just get a brain chip. I could lose that gaming headset. I don't even have to use the controller, and I can be totally immersed into it. Now it's coming out of the back of my eyeballs, and then I could have any dream, any vacation I want, and I can have it going through my brain just like a movie at night or whenever, just to check out in reality, like a Matrix movie scenario, and then I can get rid of all those bad thoughts that really just mess up my day, and I'll never remember them ever again. Well, believe it or not, now they're saying the exact same technology will not just erase your thoughts, it'll control your thoughts. And they will be able to externally control you like a robot, and you're going to do things you didn't want to do. And then I'll tell you why I think where all this is headed. But watch this. That technology has been in play for a while now. Let's take a look at that.
It's the stuff of a Hollywood movie, but a group of veterans has filed a lawsuit against the CIA and U.S. Army claiming that the government planted remote-controlled devices in their brains. So could this really be happening? Well, joining me to help discuss this is Dr. Colin Ross, president of the Colin A. Ross Institute for Psychological Trauma. Dr. Ross, tell me, is this really happening? Did the government really take part in mind control experiments on soldiers? What kind of stories have you heard from the survivors of these experiments? I know you've had access to thousands of documents from the CIA.
So there's all types of different experiments where no real consent was given. The people didn't really know what was going on, and they were basically tricked. And I think in the brain electrode experiments, it's kind of a combination of both. Some patients were told you have an electrodes put in your brain, but it's for some therapy purpose when it was really research. Others were told, go here and volunteer, and you don't really have much choice. And others were given sort of a more exact story.
So what exactly would the government do when they would control someone's mind? What could they make someone do when they manipulated their brains?
Well, what it describes in the documents and in the published papers is there's actually photographs of a 16-year-old girl. She's got a series of electrodes in her brain. Depending on which button's being pushed on the transmitter, she's either strumming her guitar, pounding furiously on the wall, or staring off into space. With the animals, they're actually directed to walk or swim to a target. So you can control the actual physical motion and the mental state. How detailed and how fine-tuned that's gotten since 1970, again, I don't know because it's all classified. But it must have gotten a lot more developed.
How fast can this happen? I mean, how fast can someone's mind be taken over? Does it happen over a period of weeks or days?
Well, the electrodes is a little different because you just put the electrode in, you push the button, and it happens right away.
Instant remote control person, what year? 50 years ago in the 70s. So if you had that far 50 years ago, what do you got in play today we don't even know about? Right? Now, again, remember, I believe this is doing two things. One, it's the propaganda. Because again, okay, I can see the hand thing. The head? Who's going to fall for the head? Look at all these conveniences if you take option number two with the brain chip. That last one's kind of creepy. But remember, you think nobody's going to do that. But what was the prediction from Elon Musk? We're going to be putting these out. It's going to be a common LASIK procedure within a year. Now, as we close, let me stir it all together for you. you put all this together, and could this be why? One of the reasons why, I'm not going to say, thus saith the Lord, I'm not going to say it's the only one. But now you know what this technology can do on a global basis, where you could monitor thoughts, you can inject thoughts, you could erase thoughts, you can control the thoughts and even the person themselves if you just get a chip in the head, then maybe this is why the Bible says for those who do take the mark of the beast, you're doomed. You're going straight to the lake of fire, man. You're doomed. Let's take a look at that text as we close, right? Revelation 14, 9 through 11. A third angel followed them and said in a loud voice, if anyone worships the beast and receives and his image and receives his mark on the where? Forehead or on the hand, he too will drink of the wine of God's fury, which has been poured full strength into the cup of his wrath. He will be tormented with burning sulfur in the presence of the holy angels and of the Lamb, and the smoke of their torment rises forever and ever. There is no rest day or night for those who worship the beast or his image, and he says it again, or for anyone who receives the mark of his name. Now that's pretty blunt. The Bible's very clear. For whatever reason, those people in the seven-year tribulation, whoever takes that mark, you are doomed. You're done. There's some people out there who would actually say that, oh, you could take the mark, theoretically, in the seven-year tribulation, later get saved. I don't see that. I strongly, disrespectfully disagree with that. I think the scripture is very clear. You take that mark, you're doomed. Your fate is sealed. Why? Well, here could be one reason. I'm not going to say thus saith the Lord, but it makes you wonder, right? Put a brain chip, and what can the Antichrist do? He'll control your thoughts. He'll inject thoughts. He'll erase thoughts. He'll control your thoughts, even you as a person. So let's say that a person in the seven-year tribulation, after you took the mark, one of the first things that the Antichrist does is he goes and erases every single memory that you ever had of anybody mentioning the name of Jesus Christ. This technology will do that. It's already here. Every single time that you ever grew up going to a church service, he'll erase that too. Every time that you sat in front of a preacher, like maybe even today, who told you the gospel, how to escape all this, he'll erase that. Every single time that somebody loved you enough to tell you about Jesus Christ, to witness to you, that's gone too. And you will not only not even think about it, but he'll supplant it with what he wants you to think. He'll determine the tape in your head. So guess what? I'm not saying thus saith the Lord, but guess what? No wonder people are doomed. You won't even have a chance to turn to Jesus. You won't even be allowed to think about Jesus. Technology already here, already being propagandized to line up and get it, either in the hand or the forehead. The forehead now starts to make more sense to me, why people would be duped. Unfortunately, it's a sign that we're living in the last days. And of course, you guys know, for you and I, it's a time to freak out and run. No, it's not. It's time to get excited, man. That just means we don't know the day nor the hour, but man, the rapture's got to be getting close. Because if we see the technology that could, I'm not saying thus saith the Lord, that could very well be a part of why people who take that mark are doomed, even now be here, boy, how much closer is the rapture? Time's running out. We need to finish strong as his bride. It's time to lift up our heads, but get excited because our redemption draws near. Amen? But hey, as we close again, this is not a game. If you still have breath right now, you better receive Jesus Christ, your Lord and Savior. This is not a game. The rapture happens. You're going to be left behind. 7 years of hell on earth. Why would you do that when you had a way of escape? God loves you. We sang about that this morning. Why would you reject that? Oh, I'll get saved later when I get in the seven-year tribulation, when I see all you guys disappear. Excuse me? We saw the last 2 weeks. You got two horrible options. Number one, if you do turn to God during that time frame, you're going to be slaughtered like flies. Revelation 20 says one of the means of death that's coming back is called decapitation. It'll chop your head off. And if you want to accept Jesus Christ right now when it's relatively easy, you really going to do that when your head's literally on the chopping block? Oh, if I take that mark of the beast thing, I'll realize, boy, what a big mistake it was. Maybe you won't ever have a chance after that. In fact, the scripture says you won't. If you compromise for the sake of convenience in the seven-year tribulation, you're doomed. Your fate is sealed. Why would you do that when today you could receive Jesus as your Savior? Do that. Don't make the biggest mistake of your life and continue to reject him. Get saved now. Amen? Well, hi, this is Billy Crone of Get a Life Ministries, and I hope you were blessed with this study. But in closing, let me ask you one final question. If you were to die today, are you sure that you go to heaven and not hell? Before you answer that, let me share a couple things that the Bible says. Did you know that the Bible says that God is holy and that we are not? And the wages of our sin or unholiness is death? In other words, we deserve to die and go straight to hell and be separated from God for all eternity. This is the great cosmic dilemma. God, who is holy and we are not, how can we have a relationship with Him? The two will never mix. Now, to make matters worse, we don't even want to admit this, even though God already knows He's God. And so God, out of love, gave us something called the Ten Commandments. The Ten Commandments were not something to just memorize or stick on your wall or give the appearance of being a religious person. The Ten Commandments were God's divine X-ray, if you will, into our heart and soul to reveal this truth that we need to admit. And that is this, that God is holy and that we are not. We are disqualified for heaven. So let's take a look at that divine X-ray that God's trying to get us to realize. The Ten Commandments, the ninth one says, you shall not bear false witness. That's lying. Okay. How many guys have ever told a lie? Raise your hand. Okay. Well, if you didn't raise your hand, you just did. You just told a lie because we've all done that. Well, that makes us a liar. Another Ten Commandment says that you shall not steal. Don't ever take anything without permission. How many of you guys have ever done that? Well, you guys already said you're a bunch of liars. All of our hands should have went up on that one. If we're being honest, God already knows. Folks, we've all taken something. We've stolen something, right? That makes us a thief. Another Ten Commandments says that you shall not use the Lord's name in vain. He's not just holy, even His name is holy. Hey, folks, let's be honest. If you can believe it, even the name of Jesus Christ has been turned into a common cuss word. Well, the Bible says that's a sin of blasphemy. Now we're a blasphemer. The Bible says you shall not commit adultery. And Jesus said, here's His standard. Even if you look at another person with lust in your eye, you committed adultery in your heart. Wow, so now we're an adulterer. The Bible says you shall not murder. And you might think, well, hey, at least I haven't done that one. Really? Again, the Bible says that the sin of hatred, wishing somebody was dead, okay, that's the same thing. It's akin to the sin of murder. It's just you pulled the trigger in your heart, but God sees the heart. Hey, folks, that's just 5 out of 10. How are you doing? You still think you're going to get to heaven on your own? You still think that you're qualified, that you're holy like God, and you could bridge the gap and have a relationship with Him forever? I don't think so. I mean, what did we just see? You're going to stand before God, and so am I. We all are. And we're going to have to give an account for who we are. Hey, God, let me in. I'm a liar. I'm a thief. I'm a blasphemer. I'm an adulterer. I'm a murderer. And the scripture is very clear, folks. Such people as these will not inherit the kingdom of God. We're in trouble. But folks, here's the good news. The Bible says that if we would just admit that, that's the first step. To admit that God is holy, that I'm not, I'm disqualified for heaven, I need a Savior. If we would admit that and then ask for the Savior to save us. That's what God was doing with Jesus. God gave us His Son, Jesus Christ. He took the death penalty in our place so that we could be completely forgiven of everything we've ever done and be made holy through Jesus so that we can now have a relationship with God both here and now and forever in heaven. We can become qualified. The word that the Bible uses is a word called pardon, that God is willing to pardon us of all of our sins and crimes that we've committed against Him and disqualified us for heaven, right? And we've actually seen this work in real life. For instance, there's been people who have committed crimes, gone to court, the gavel's been passed, the judge has said, hey, listen, we all know you're guilty, you even admit you're guilty, and for your crimes, you're going to not just jail, you're going to await in jail to go to the death penalty. And did you know that there actually is a way that somebody could get off of death row? It's called a pardon. The one in the authority, the governor, can grant what's called a pardon for that person's crimes, and they literally can go free. Not because of something they did, because the deeds are already done, you can't undo it. Not because they tried to clean up their act while they were stuck in the jail cell, because that doesn't change anything. But simply out of mercy, the person who has the authority can give them a pardon, and they can go free. And did you know it's actually on historical record that there have been people who have been granted a pardon from the death penalty and they've refused to take it. And so even though the offer was there to be set free, they themselves still had to go to the death penalty. Folks, in a nutshell, that's what God's doing every single day with all of us this side of heaven. While you still have breath, you still have an opportunity to receive God's pardon. He's willing to forgive you of all your sins if you would just receive his pardon through Jesus Christ. Again, that's what he was doing on the cross. The cross was the death penalty of the day. But since we weren't there, and since we can't earn it, it's a gift from God, you have to receive that by faith. Reach out even today from your own spiritual jail cell, if you will, and say yes to Jesus and God's pardon so that you can be set free and go to heaven. The Bible says that if you will confess Jesus as Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the grave, you will be saved. Hey, folks, if that's you, don't delay. You may not even have tomorrow. Today could be your last day. Please accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Confess with your mouth he is Lord. Believe in your heart that God has raised him from the grave. And the Bible says you will be saved. Well, this has been Billy Crone of Get a Life Ministries. If there's anything that we could do for you, our information and number will come up here shortly. And please don't hesitate to contact us. But remember, I hope to see you in heaven. God bless.